I'm the sports professor, Rick Haro, and this is Beyond the Scoreboard, the inside look at the trillion-dollar business of sports with a serious show that really doesn't take itself too seriously. We do get behind all the deal-making, legal, marketing, business issues that impact you, the New England sports fan, as well as everybody all over the country. It's only getting bigger, more issues to cover, so let's get started. We also have Chris Collinsworth at the back end of the podcast, well worth waiting for, but he's not going to give us predictions. He's going to talk about analytics and how they make his job easier and his company, which is also Pro Football Focus. If you want more of this, join us on Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and iTunes. And if you want to get the full list of the top 15 issues of this week, take a look at it at csnne.com. Here we go. The top issues this week: hockey, hockey, more hockey, a little basketball, maybe even a little golf. As far as hockey is concerned, the big issue isn't on the ice, but it's actually in the boardroom. In an effort to restart negotiations over a labor dispute, putting their participation in the upcoming World Championship in jeopardy, USA Hockey expected to reach out to players, women's national team. I can tell you it's about payment. We've seen the press releases go back and forth, and it isn't pretty. USA Hockey currently provides only $1,000 per month during the six-month Olympic residency period every 4 years, and the bottom line is they provide more, the women say, to the men than the women. USA Hockey players welcome reopening negotiations that could avert their boycott. Time is running out because the tournament begins March 31, and just like their soccer counterparts, the women of USA Hockey, well-organized, feisty, and determined. Their boycott showing the relevance of Title IX and vigilance in improving women's sports overall. Hockey equipment dominates the headlines as well. Adidas-owned CCM Hockey back up for sale the second time in the last year. One of the largest manufacturers of hockey equipment and hockey apparel in the world. And they also have deals in place with several superstars: Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and others. The current president says that the new owner would be a great opportunity for the brand to increase hockey-related and hockey equipment market share. And beginning next season, Adidas has the exclusive license to manufacture NHL jerseys, which may be one of the biggest factors in why they decided once again to try to sell the brand. My take is this: as hockey's popularity continues to increase, any sale of any hockey-specific enterprise will be fruitful for the sport and assist in long-term stability. Especially relevant in the hockey-crazy Northeast, the brand, of course, very important. Let's go out west. Toyota's become the official NHL Las Vegas Golden Knight first sponsor. 3-year deal with the Japanese auto manufacturer. The T-Mobile Arena has branding elements with Toyota, the Zamboni wrap, an in-ice logo, and they're currently a sponsor of 13 other NHL teams, and the deal with the Golden Knights reported to be very competitive as compared to equivalent deals of similar size. The Golden Knights off and running in the boardroom as well as on the ice. And my take is this: it's hard to believe that only a few months ago, Vegas was a small gambling and entertainment town with no hope for Major League Sports. Now, a hockey franchise, two NASCAR races, and the reasonable likelihood of the NFL. Bruins benefit too. Every valuable increase in any franchise all over the league helps everybody. Finally, as far as hockey, the NHL continues to celebrate its centennial on the ice. The league last week confirmed the plans for the Senators and Canadiens to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the first league game in Ottawa with an outdoor game at TD Place. The game, Sunday, December 17, 3 weeks after the CFL's Grey Cup is played in TD Place, expanded to 34,000 seats. And the NHL, by the way, treats its 100th anniversary celebration with great respect. LA led off the new year with the All-Star Game and its 100th greatest NHL athletes. Now look for the NHL to continue to increase its franchise values, television ratings, corporate partnerships, and ultimate revenues. My take: the NHL's strong, and it's even getting stronger. Now, hey, how about bringing an All-Star game back to Boston? How about that one? Let's talk basketball. March Madness, Sweet 16, That's hardly the annual tourney's most significant number, though. All the networks, CBS, TNT, TBS, True TV, 8.2 million viewers for the first Thursday, up 4% from last year. Remember those productivity studies, $4 billion in lost wages Thursday and Friday? I say a happy worker is a productive worker. And boy, if you were a top seed fan, you were basically happy. March Madness bracket participants, 71% say they watch games at home, 12% at the bar, 24% use a computer to check scores. Nearly 100 million viewers across 73 telecasts last year, and this year, the eight-year, $9 billion extension for March Madness. The television value at over $1 billion. But the point is this. There is less distinction today about who watches versus where they watch. The where they watch is less important. Digital, iPad, bar, anywhere. The advertisers are now understanding the real important thing is capturing the revenue and activate. That's why the big sponsors are spending the big bucks. And like the diehard college hoops fans who flock to the NCAA tournament sites, advertisers and sponsors equally drawn to the sweet spot, age 25 to 54. Plenty of brain power, half holding a bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree. These are people who graduated the schools they follow and clearly are avid fans. And Wendy's this year joins the drive for the Final Four, including advertising, merchandising, PR. And here's my take. The ultimate collegiate sports experience is a no-brainer for brands, giving the tournament an A year after academic year. Certainly New England fans participating in this as well, even though not really local teams to follow, all national teams, very important to New England sports. And finally, let's do a shout out to the women and the LPGA. The signature golf event tees off in Carlsbad, California. Kia Motors inked a multi-year renewal of the brand's LPGA relationship as its official automotive partner. The exclusive Women's Leadership Day presented by the LPGA and Servant Leadership Institute. The exclusive forum for a professional woman features a keynote by Sempra Energy EVP Martha Wersch and a panel discussion spotlighting women executives from the LPGA, LA Clippers, LA 2024, and others. I'm moderating the event, proud to do it, and it also joins the Indy Women in Tech Championship presented by Guggenheim as LPGA events, a strong focus on success in the workplace by women, plans for kids and others to emulate as well. Finally, let's talk football for a minute. President Donald Trump, not the only boss to yell, "You're fired," in D.C. Thursday, the first day of the new league year last week, and most teams looked at free agency to fill their glaring holes in their rosters. The Washington Redskins created a much larger void in their front office. They fired Scott McClellan on Thursday, 2 years into his four-year contract. He was fired due to his ongoing problems with alcohol, according to the Washington Post. During one of the busiest times of the year, NFL front offices with the draft a month away, the Redskins find themselves scrambling to find a new leader in their organization. One name has been mentioned, NFL Network draft analyst Mike Mayock, but don't expect the Redskins to rush into making a decision. Insiders say they expect the Redskins to wait until after the draft to find the replacement. And my take is this, the Trump-esque office shakeups don't always lead to increased victory. They certainly demonstrate a renewed commitment to improving the on-field product in D.C. And by the way, Patriots fans, how about stability? Everybody firing everybody and moving people around. It is good to know that the leaders stay put. And also how important it is analytics in their decisions to move forward. The Kraft Analytic Group in Sloan MIT sponsored an amazing seminar that we've had a number of interviews come out of. It was an incredible week. But one of the most important people who generated support in this event, Chris Collinsworth. We all know Chris is a sportscaster on NBC. We also know that he played wide receiver for the Bengals for 8 seasons during the 80s after an All-American college career at the University of Florida. But he also led the acquisition of Pro Football Focus, a football performance data and technology company, 2 years ago and serves as the majority owner and CEO. television sportscaster, obviously, Showtime, NFL Network, and winner of 15 sports Emmys. But the most important issue for him at the Sloan Analytics Conference was to gather as much data as he could right before the draft, not only for his company, but also knowledge of football. He talks Patriots, stability, analytics, draft, and the business of sports. Chris Collinsworth. Sports professor Rick Haro, we're here at the Sloan MIT Analytics. It is winding down. The interesting thing about our next guest is that he has a business of his own, but a lot of people may not know it. So I bet you he's not deluged with the ongoing stream of resumes that everybody comes out of the woodwork to do. I suspect it's just autographs, Chris Collinsworth. Is it autographs and resumes or what?
I can't wait to get resumes from this crowd.
Yeah.
Believe me, a big part of the reason that I came, we have a 5-person full IT team. We're trying to get the 10. So where else would you rather be? Come here and try and recruit.
So let's talk about the we very quickly, because we could always talk about Bengals and the NFL and University of Florida. It's pro football focus. You bought the company a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Talk about where the company's been and where it's going.
Well, at one time when I bought it, I think we had affiliations with 13 of the National Football League teams. We just came back from the combine, and we have 25 currently. I think there's a very good chance that we land this year somewhere between 28 and 30 teams. I was completely blown away by the fact that now at the combine, there are all these 25 to 35-year-old young people that have never played football, that have never worn a helmet, many of whom are women, that are now having real decision-making influence over game plans, over rosters, over salary cap, and it's all about data, it's all about analytics, it's all about these young kids that are coming out of places like MIT and Harvard and Princeton that are not afraid of the numbers.
Good thing, bad thing, by the way.
I think it's a great thing. I now go into the week, and Pro Football Focus gives me a bunch of data on the two teams that we're going to do. And about 80% of it, I go, yeah, I knew.
Right.
About 20% of it, I love being wrong on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't like being wrong on Sunday night.
Right.
And so when these young people that have broken down every single play of every single game, it has been overseen by a coach, it has been presented in such a manner that it's easily digestible, and that 20% is where I end up spending my time during the week, because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And somebody who has never played the game of football was able to teach me that through analytics.
Is there, and I'll say it in a complimentary way, is there an appropriate balance in football decision-making today between the geeks and the old line guys?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think that there's movement. It used to be everybody was like, if you didn't play the game, you don't know what you're talking about, right? And a lot of those coaches are no longer around.
Right.
And we're seeing the 31-year-old head coaches now that are, I mean, they were born with technology in their hand. They know how to manipulate numbers. They're not afraid of what analytics will tell them. And they want it. They expect it. They're getting it in college. We have 15 major college teams that get our service. So they've been brought up in a way that the players of my generation weren't. And I'm of the opinion, either adapt or die, you know? So I'm adapting. I'm all in.
But probably wrong guy to ask, since he owns an analytic company, but can you go too far with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, especially on, because it's still football. It's still a fist fight out there, right?
Yeah.
And there are some people that have these big hearts that when it's the most desperate of times, the Tom Brady's of the world, the Michael Jordan's of the world, you can't put analytics around that. You know, it is still a game played by human beings that in the toughest of situations have to deliver, have to overcome their own nerves, and there's no analytics to build around that.
How do you determine that? How do you assess the size of a guy's heart?
I wish I knew. I would be the greatest draft guru in all the world.
And a coach, by the way.
And a coach.
Great GM.
And a coach. I know it when I see it.
Right.
But unfortunately, I'm not there on draft day. But it is, there's a great, wonderful balance that is opening up the world of football to people now that are at this conference that are wide-eyed, that are always, baseball was the first one to get there, and now all the other sports are following suit.
We're not going to do the who's going to win the Super Bowl and what a game last year. That's for 98% of the other people. Let's talk about Chris Collinsworth, the businessman. So your University of Florida education, you've always been a business guy. You feel like the purchase of the company gives you business satisfaction. What's next? Growing the company, scaling it? What's next with the company?
Well, we had 80 employees when I bought it. We have over 300 now, I think 350 now at this point. We're probably going much higher than that. I have some incredible partners that know a lot more about business than I do. I do have an accounting degree. I have a law degree. Yeah. So I have a little bit of background. I can speak a little bit of the language. But just like in football, I think you're always looking for expertise. Yeah. I have Dave Calhoun at Blackstone is one of our investors.
Of course.
Jack Cassidy, who ran Cincinnati Bell, is one of our investors. I have some people that I have the utmost respect for. And if you're smart, you're always looking for somebody who's smarter than you are to help you with some of those big decisions. And I think I'm at least smart enough to do that.
Well, you know, as someone else who has a law degree and realizes that a law degree only opens the door, doesn't kick it in, and it certainly doesn't guarantee success, which is another bit of advice, how do you deal with the entrepreneurial opportunities and yet make some decisions in your life where you know what you want to do and get there and not do too much and not make the wrong decisions business-wise?
Yeah, I always wanted to be involved in some business. But I didn't want to go open a McDonald's because I don't know anything about running a restaurant. I didn't want to go into some manufacturing because I don't know anything about that. So when this opportunity came along and it was a chance to enhance what I was already doing and do what I was doing better and have a chance to dream of, if I had a chance to run NFL Network, what would I do? How would I do it? If I had a fantasy product, how would I sell it? And that to me is, I don't work. Yeah. I get out of bed every day, and I can't wait to get started on whatever the project of the day may be. And when your vocation and avocation are the same thing, right, life is pretty fun.
Yeah, and there's a very interesting piece of that, too. And how do you consciously every day kind of juggle the media exposure, the media opportunities that you've been blessed with and do, and obviously help promote your business? Subtle, it's appropriate, and it's seamless, and it evolves. It comes from that.
Well, I think data analytics is in the news right now, clearly. Whether it's political coverage, whether it's finance, whether it's are we going to raise the interest rates? Yeah. You know, it's all about crunching numbers. And, you know, I went through a lot of math classes to get through business school, but I am wowed by some of the young people that I'm around now. I am wowed by them. I look at what they're doing and what they're creating. You know, the NGS is the next big thing, where they put these computer chips on the shoulder pads of the players, and all this data comes spitting out. But what are you going to do with it? How is it relevant? How are you going to make money off of it? How are you going to make your team better? And in all of those ways, it is exciting. You know, every day is there's something new and creative going on in the world of football. And I think there's been as much change in the last 4 or 5 years as there has been maybe in the last 25 before that. Because this old era of, trust me, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, certainly the Bill Belichicks of the world, when they're out there, you're going to go, okay, Bill, you know, if a numbers are going opposite of Bill Belichick, I'm still going for Bill Belichick. But what is that 20% that even Bill Belichick's going to go, let me think about that for a minute. I hadn't really thought about it in that way.
Well, that 20% for Bill Belichick is probably 60% for the rest of the human race.
I think that's about right.
So for the Boston fans who are involved in this as well, you're an analytics guy, you're a management guy, you're a student of success as well. What off the field makes the Patriots so great, and how do they sustain their excellence?
I think they do the same thing year after year with the same coaches. The fact that they're able to hold on to their two coordinators blows me away.
Yeah.
You know, but you go down to the level of detail. I mean, the fact that Dante Scarnecchia sat out a year, comes back as the offensive line coach, and you see the difference.
Yeah.
You know, there's a human element to all this as well. But the fact that Bill Belichick is able to put a system in place, and they draft to that system year after year. They coach to that system year after year. And you look around the league at all the teams that every third year are switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, that are going from a passing offense to a mobile quarterback. How are they ever going to compete with a guy that's doing the same thing day after day, grinding through, has never lost his work ethic? That's a tough thing to overcome. Some people have come really close. I don't think you look at the New England Patriots and say, that is the most talented football team I've ever seen in my life. Sure. Right? I just don't think you do that. I think you look at them and you go, those guys collectively are so much better than what they are individually. And to me, that is really fun to watch.
Is it the system that's the solution? We talked about offensive defensive coordinators, but the interchangeable players, is it a character issue? Is it a combination?
It's versatility and it's intelligence. Because no matter how smart Bill Belichick is, or Josh McDaniels, or Matt Patricia, no matter how smart they are, if the guys can't do it, I mean, every coach that goes against them says, we don't even worry about what was on film last week because we ain't going to see that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a new game plan every week. Well, that's great as long as your guys can understand it and your guys can adapt and make those sort of changes. But think about going into a Super Bowl with a game plan that you haven't been doing. So that takes all those off-season days of work. It has to become second nature. And when Tom Brady can get in the huddle and go, oh, you guys remember back in 2012 when we played Buffalo in the second half and we made this. Aren't many people can do that.
And everybody responds to that, too. So final issue, and we're going to put a shameless plug in for Kraft Analytics. It also helps. Jessica Gelman, the guys that run this conference, are affiliated with a Kraft-related company. So now we know we take this dangerous, unbelievable organization and armed them with data that nobody else has. Should we even bother showing up for next season?
I think they're going to do okay. Somehow I have a feeling they're going to do okay without me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Great to see you.
Appreciate it. Well, that's our show for the day. We'd like to thank Chris Collinsworth for his analytical insight. We'd like to thank Jason Levine and Tanner Simpkins for putting this show together. And as usual, we'd like to thank you guys for watching and listening in. Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and the iTunes feed if you want to get everything in our list of 15 topics every week on CSNNE.com. And join us next week when we go Beyond the Scoreboard.